Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. I'm starting out the show with a guy who is rapidly becoming my favorite guest. His name is Rabbi Jeffrey Katz. In addition to being a rabbi, a full-time Orthodox rabbi, Reverend Katz is also a full-time practicing attorney. I asked him how he could juggle both responsibilities, and he said, number one, very carefully. Number two, he said, I don't sleep a lot at night, but I love what I'm doing in both instances. Nice to have you with me, Rabbi Katz. Thank you.
Great to be here with you. Thanks so much.
Got a question for you. Your publicist sent me your views on what's going on with the deficit and how you feel it should be perhaps addressed is the right way to put it. Now, I want to just start this by saying one thing that I am aware of, and that is our deficit right now is a little over $21 trillion. Yeah, if interest rates were realistic, the U.S. would not be able to service its debt. With the Green New Deal or New Green Deal or whatever Ocasio-Cortez is calling it, the deficit would go up to over $60 trillion. I believe that we have a major problem, Rabbi Katz. I think that if either one of those things happens, if the $21 trillion is not addressed, or if, in fact, the Green New Deal comes into effect and we're looking at a $61 trillion deficit, it'll bring America to its knees. What are your thoughts about that?
This is really part of a larger problem, the problem of how do we promote productivity in our society. The problem is that, countries like Venezuela have kind of gone down this track already. When you had Venezuela, if you recall, 20 or 25 years ago, was a wealthy country. Mm-hmm. The problem is that when you have a lot of wealth, it's easier for people just to take the wealth than to have an interest in policies that will create more and more wealth. I mean, the reason the United States is a wealthy country is because up until this time, people have basically been allowed to keep the lion's share of what they earn. They're able to realize, value from their hard work. Once you look at the country just as a static pot of wealth that's to be divided, that's really where the danger lies, only because you tend not to produce more wealth when you look at the country just as a pie to be divided. I mean, that's what happened in Venezuela 20 years ago when Chavez took over. He brought policies in that made people say, why should I work if, my money's going to be taken away from me and my income is going to be taxed at exorbitant rates, close to 100%. What's the use of working? And as a result, people stop working. The wealth stops being produced. Of course, if you have a wealthy enough country, for a time you can survive. I mean, Venezuela did very well for, a couple of decades, or at least more than a decade. Chavez was throwing block parties on every block. People loved him. I mean, they were eating and drinking and having a great time, literally parties on every block. People loved him. But of course, it was a very short-sighted policy. And when you have a country like the United States that's very wealthy, built on the sweat and labor of, so many millions and millions of people, it's easy to go in the wrong direction. So, and it's tempting to do that. But we really have to keep our guard up. So we have to promote policies that promote work and promote productivity, not the opposite, not like the socialist utopians, the new wing on the left that's emerging now, which is really focused on new government entitlement programs, which are going to bust the budget deficit wide open, which is so irresponsible. I mean, we may enjoy it, but it's really a very harsh judgment we're passing down to our children and grandchildren, if we would go that route.
Well, pardon me, I live about 2 hours north of Seattle, and Kath and I both grew up in Seattle, and we have a situation in Seattle right now, and we get down there typically once a month to visit our kids and grandkids, and Seattle has literally thousands of homeless people. I'm talking about homeless cities. I'm talking about homeless camps. I mean, it has turned into a very dangerous city because these people, being as desperate as they are, will really go to any lengths to be able to get money for food, for lack of better terms. I mean, it's not a good situation. When you have a non-productive society and when you have a society that, in my opinion, is based on welfare simply, these people aren't even getting welfare for the most part. They don't even qualify anymore. I agree with you, Rabbi, that we very definitely need to focus our society on being more productive. Now, you've got a party right now that is pushing what they call the New Green Deal. The New Green Deal, as I mentioned at the outset, will probably, as I understand it, add about, what is it, $30, $40 trillion to the deficit. How can you possibly focus on becoming more productive as a country when you have that type of situation going on?
Yeah, you can't possibly because, like you said before, even now, with artificially low interest rates, the debt is so high, the absolute amount of what the country owes is so great that even at borrowing rates, interest rates that are so low, still by historical standards as they are, it's still taking up an exorbitant amount of our national budget. And if interest rates were to rise, you know, well, let's say the government were paying multiples of what it's paying now, paying 5, 6, 7% interest on debt, we would be crippled as a country, and we would not be able to make the basic investments we really do need, infrastructure and the like, to keep productivity going. And also, the most needy in our society really are the most impacted, because it takes a society that's productive and wealthy to have a strong safety net and to have private charity, which Americans are among the most generous people in the world. The private charity in the United States is astounding. And, you know, Maimonides recognized this, and all these principles are tied together because you can't have the wonderful institutions of private charity that we have unless you have a country that has resources and where productive people have excess to give to others, and that's so important. But you only have that excess, that you only have the excess when you're allowed to be productive and allowed to keep the lion's share of what you do, because again, or else the incentives just work in the opposite direction. And you know, when people are productive and able to keep the lion's share of their work, they are productive and they work hard and they're charitable, and Americans are incredibly charitable by their nature. And it's when they're working hardest and they're most productive that they're also happiest and most charitable, and really everybody benefits. And of course, ultimately, we don't want charity to be about giving fish to people. We want it to be about teaching people to fish, as Maimonides' ultimate and greatest principle of charity dictates, where you give people dignity of a job. The safety net is really important, but only as a second resort. The optimal situation is you want people to be productive and independent and self-sufficient.
Well, I have to tell you, I agree with that 1,000%. That has been my philosophy on life for as long as I can possibly remember. You know, giving a man one fish is one thing. That's going to satisfy his hunger. Pretty obvious point here. That's going to satisfy his hunger for a portion of one day. But teaching him how to fix those fish, fix the nets, teaching him where to throw the nets, teaching him how to keep the fish, you know, fresh once they're caught, et cetera, is something that is so much more important, because then the person who now, for example, is living in a homeless camp can learn how to take care of himself and his or her family. Ladies and gentlemen, Big Al is going to be right back with Rabbi Jeffrey Katz. Stick around.